Welcome to the International Community Church Podcast. For more information about International Community Church, visit us on the web at www.icchurch.us.
Title, it's called The Family of the Unsandaled. The Family of the Unsandaled. And I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 25. Let's let you find it. Verse 5, it says, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders at the town gate and say, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to me. Then the elders of his town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, I do not want to marry her, his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face and say, this is what is done to the man who will not build up his brother's family line. That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. That's quite a scripture, isn't it? Imagine that. And he was forever called the family of the unsandaled. So this was a custom during the times of Moses, and not just for the Hebrews, but many of the other, like the Egyptians and different nations, would have a similar custom. So it wasn't something that was absolute, that he had to marry his brother's widow, but if he didn't, that's basically what happened. He was called the family of the unsandaled. Now, if you remember in Matthew chapter 22, and let me just quickly remind you, chapter 22 and verse 23, Jesus is talking, the Pharisees and the Sadducees especially, they're listening to him, and the Sadducees wanted to ask questions because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And it says that same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, they ask, whose wife shall she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? I find this humorous. Who would want to marry her? she's lived out seven of them. But the question was, it was kind of a trick question, who's going to be her husband in the resurrection? And Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor are given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen. So if you've, Mother's Day Sunday is a great day for celebrating when your mum's alive. When she's not, it brings back, you know, sad memories. But, you know, as believers, whether we've got family, loved ones who have gone on before, they're not dead, because God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He says, I'm the God, not I was the God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and but they're dead. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living and not the dead. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So some of you may have lost a brother or a sister or whoever. The fact is that you still have them, because they're not dead, they're alive. That's good news, isn't it? Cheer up. You've got your mind on this sandal and spitting in the face bit, haven't you? It's kind of rocked you. Well, God's message, basically, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, with the trees, the herbs and the fruit trees, etc., you know, God had the idea of replenishment and reproduction. So he put seed within the things that he created in order that they could reproduce and replenish the earth. And of course, when he created Adam and Eve, he said the same thing. He said, be fruitful and replenish the earth. So always God's desire and ideal and plan and purpose was reproduction, right? Yes. So when you come to this custom in the Old Testament, the brother taking his brother's widow, it's in order that the family name and the family line should carry on, right? So always God was wanting the family line, the family name, to carry on. Now, if we look at it in a spiritual way, as I've said, God's placed in everything that is created, basically, is placed seed within it so it can reproduce. And in John 3:16, the Bible says, and you know it very well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God gave in order to receive a family. So he sent his Son, the seed, that's what he's called, the seed of the woman. He sent him into this world. He died on the cross, shed his blood, and was buried. And because he was buried and rose again, he has produced a family right across the world. You with me? It wouldn't have happened unless he died. And that's why Jesus said in John 12:24, except a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. So he's talking about himself. He's basically saying to them, unless I go to the cross, unless I die and I'm buried, then nothing will take place. But if I die and I'm buried, then I will never be alone. He's going to die in order to reproduce, right? So he's basically saying, I'm the seed, and when I die, I will reproduce, right? So seed has to go into the ground before it can reproduce. So it basically, in a way, dies in order that it can reproduce. And in a spiritual way, this has to continue, doesn't it? In the local church, if we don't reproduce, we die. Christianity is still the fastest growing religion in the world. But thousands of churches close every year in the United States. as well as around the world. So if we don't reproduce, we die. That's the facts, isn't it? So we have to be reproducers. Doors close when there's no reproduction. The family line ceases. You know, when Paul was writing to the Galatian church in chapter 4, this is a church that he planted and brought to birth, as it were, through his ministry. He says these words in Galatians 4, verse 19. He says, "My little children, of whom I travail again in birth together, that Christ may be formed in you." My little children, of whom I travail again in birth together, that Christ may be formed in you. Now, it's Mother's Day today. I'm going to ask you a question. Where would we be without a mother? I'll answer it for you. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here, would we? Any of us? We all came the same way. We came from a mother's womb. Nobody dropped down from heaven. We came from a mother's womb. Right? And Paul says, "I'm traveling again for you, you Galatian believers, that Christ may be formed in you." So for birth to take place, normally there has to be love. Right? For God so loved. There's got to be love, and then there's got to be a relationship that brings two people together in order to reproduce. So there's got to be love, there's got to be a relationship, and then right at the end of that process, before birth takes place, there's travail. Now the men or the women think the men don't know anything about this. Believe you me, we went through it with you. We were right behind in the next room. When Val was giving birth to Mark, and she was a bit delirious, you know, and I was at a bedside, and she was obviously, the labor pains were starting. This boy was trying to get out into the world. I was urging him on. Because we didn't know in those days whether it was a boy or a girl, you know, whether it was Marcus or Michelle, you know. Don't get calling him Michelle, that was a joke. But she turns to me in the midst of all this travail and says, "How's your pains?" I'm just walking around the room speaking in tongues. I said, "They're all right, love, carry on." So there has to be love. There has to be a relationship, and then finally at the end there's got to be travail, right? That's how a woman brings to birth. You know, we've been watching this year, it's a BBC program that we managed to get called The Midwife, and it's been very interesting. There's about seven seasons, and we've you know, it's about half an hour or so each session. But we've gone through these, and it's right back in the 1960s in the East End of London. And so Val and I are watching it, and they're pushing these, you know, they had the big, you know, baby prams, as we would call them. They're pushing them down the street. The washing lines are across the road, you know, people, and they're all in these, you know, what you'd call townhouses. We call them terraced houses, all, you know, two up, two down type of things, and nobody's got much money, and we're watching all this. And the first episode is where the midwife, as they would in those days, they went round to the homes and delivered the child in the home. And it was very few that actually, unless there were real complications, were born in hospitals. So the midwives would be calling on them right up to the process of birth. And the first episode was the midwife goes to this house, and they're on the 22nd child. Yeah, that's what we said. 22 children, not two pennies to rub together. How they do it, I don't know. But anyway, you know, it was interesting. And we're watching all this, you know, and I said, "Hey, I said, just think about it, Val. We were alive in those days. This is what it was like, you know. And but there has to be travail. And of course, on each episode of Call the Midwife, you know, it's just the woman's there, you know, like, and the baby's delivered and, you know, type of thing. It's very interesting. If you can get the series, you'll enjoy it. But, you know, there has to be travail. And when these three things are linked, then there is reproduction. The family line goes on. And it's same in the spiritual. When there's real love for lost people, then there has to be a relationship with them. You know, a lot of us maybe we're good at giving out Bible texts, and you know, sometimes people ask me, do you agree with the people that stand on the street corner with a sandwich board and, you know, it's a doom and gloom? Not really. I don't particularly think it does much good at all. I think it just puts people off most of the time. Maybe in the goodness and grace of God, some people have come to Christ because they saw somebody like that. But, you know, the majority of people come to Jesus because somebody has loved them. Somebody has loved them enough to spend a bit of time with them and to start to relate to them. And I think sometimes that's where we all miss the boat. And I'm talking about me as well as perhaps others. You know, we're good at correcting. We're good at saying, you know, this is the way. You know, it's not Allah, it's Jesus. You know, it's you know, we're good at telling people. But first of all, there's got to be a connection before there's correction. You understand? Listen, folks, wherever we go, and I mentioned to you when we're on that cruise, you know, one young man, his name was Zlotan from Hungary. A lovely young man, but, you know, he says to me, I was born in Hungary, spent most of my life there, but he said, I've lived in Essex, England. He says, and I got married, and we moved to a town called Newmarket in England. He says, and my wife, we had little boys, five, and he says, she left me. And he says, the day she kicked me out, he says, her boyfriend moved in with five children. He says, and she won't let me see the little boy. I said, Zlotan, I think I can help you a little bit. You know, I think I know a little bit about your pain. And so, you know, one day I was on the top deck and there was a little area right at the back where the staff would come just for 5 minutes to have a smoke. It's amazing how many people smoke in Europe, girls as well as boys. And anyway, they were having a smoke. And Zlotan comes up to me and I began to talk to him. I said, can I pray with you? And he says, yeah, sure. Began to just encourage him, connect with him. And I prayed with him. And I didn't lead him to the Lord, but I prayed with him for his situation. Now he's in contact with me on Messenger, Facebook. You know, you just never know what's going to happen. Another young man, he says to me, I was sat up. It was a lovely day. I was sat up on top deck just reading my Bible. And he's walking by me to go and have a smoke. And he'd been one of our waiters. And he says, are you reading a good book? I said, yeah, it's the greatest book there is. He turned back. He says, what's that? I said, it's the Bible. Oh. And he starts to tell me a story. He says, he's only about 19. He says, my dad's a policeman in Slovakia. He said, and he had a motorcycle accident and injured his arm, broke his leg in two places, and hasn't worked for 2 years. He says, I love my family. As he said, I love my family. Tears came to his eyes. And I said to him, can I pray for your dad now? He says, yeah. You know, it's just been a privilege. We have to connect before we correct. Do you understand what I'm saying? There has to be love for people, and there has to be a connection with them, so that we don't just throw out a Bible text at them, but we connect with them. We become friends with them. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners. And we're living in a messy world, folks. There's nobody without problems. Nobody. Everybody's got problems. Somebody was telling me, some of the pastors in certain country, a number of them are wanting to give up because of problems. Sometimes people enter the ministry thinking it's going to be a better lifestyle. Jesus didn't promise us a better lifestyle. He promised us abundant life. And if you read about Paul and all the troubles and problems he went through, I mean, that's the ministry. You know, it looks good on television when he's talking about prosperity and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes I just have to switch them off once they start about, you know, this is holy oil and holy water and all the doings that you get. We've got to rescue people. And there are people down our streets. There are people that we have to connect with before we correct. And so there has to be a love, and there has to be travail. That's, of course, where prayer comes in. And you know, with what's happened in the last month or two with our friend Rick Seawood, who was really the apostolic leader of all these churches across the world, a great ministry and servant of God. And I watched his memorial service on live stream whilst we were over in England. And then our pastor Ray Belfield, who's just gone to be with the Lord. And that, you know, it's been on my mind, what kind of legacy? What legacy will I leave behind? What legacy will any of us leave behind? But unless we reproduce, the family line disappears. And that's why I think as a church, we really need to pray, make this a priority. I throw it out this morning. I'm not going to speak on it particularly. I throw it out. That's why we must reach boys and girls, and we must reach young people, and we must, if necessary, change things in order to do that. Because unless we do, we'll die. We have to have children. We have to reproduce. And how do you transform a community? You touch the next generation and put the word of God into their lives. So the family of the unsandaled was the family that refused to reproduce. But we don't want to be like that. Jesus said, or Paul said in Ephesians 6, when he talked about spiritual armor, he says, upon your feet, they should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Folks, listen to me. That's what our gospel is. It's a gospel of peace, not war. It's a gospel of peace. And Jesus said to his disciples, when you go into a village and town or city, you go to somebody's door, say, peace be upon this house. Shalom. If the man of peace is there, stay with him. Eat with him. Drink with him. Share the kingdom. Heal the sick. What was the message? Peace. We have to love people. We have to connect before we correct. The family of the unsandaled was because this particular one wouldn't take his brother's widow and raise up seed from her. So she would take off her sandal, spit in his face, and forever he would be remembered that way. We want to be people that reproduce. May God help us to do that. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved every one of us. You loved us all enough to come to this world and die as that seed. And you placed your seed, the seed life of Christ. We've been born again of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God in us. Help us to share. Help us to connect. Give us a fresh love for men and women, boys and girls, young people, that, Lord, in the coming days, we shall see many of them coming to know you and reproduction taking place. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take up our tithes and our